Today, let's consider how you overcome your fears in life. The Bible refers to fear in hundreds of places. And we all know that the Bible says, do not be afraid. And yet all of us continue to have fears. So I want us to first of all look this morning at this passage and say, well, what caused the disciples' fear? I mean, after all, they were with Jesus. What better place to be, right? I think one thing was the sudden transfiguration of Jesus. Going from a body like ours into what many scholars say was his resurrected body, his new heavenly body. I mean, put yourself in their shoes. You've known Jesus for almost 3 years. You've been by his side day and night through all different kinds of experiences. Same Jesus, same person. And now he changes right before your eyes. So bright that you can hardly look at him. And he gives you a glimpse of what is to come. Now that's enough to rattle anyone. Here's the second thing. It was also the sudden appearance of Moses and Elijah. Moses was the lawgiver of the Hebrew people. Elijah was the greatest of the prophets, the greatest of the preachers. Now, here are two of the most famous, most respected, and beloved people in their history. And all of a sudden, they appear. Well, now, how would you react? How would you react if all of a sudden you saw George Washington and Eleanor Roosevelt standing before you? Or Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass? How would you react? Here's the third thing. This bright cloud appeared. There's an old theological word for that, and the word is theophany. It's an image or a manifestation of God's power and presence and glory. So this bright cloud and a voice to go along with that speaking. And we sort of infer from the scriptures that that's God speaking because he says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. So I just think that with that third event of the vision, Peter, James, and John went, okay, that's enough. That's enough. I'm on your faces, hiding, fearful, filled with awe. It's a combination here of respect and honor and fear and reverence and awe. So that's the what. And we could psychologize all day about why they were afraid rather than just naming it. But I think it's important for us today in the 21st century to see this and to ask ourselves, how do we deal with fear in times and moments of our lives? How do we respond? And here's one thing that I think. I think it revolves around the nature of spiritual growth. I think that Jesus wanted to teach James and John and Peter something that day, something that he could not teach them or show them in the daily activities in the marketplace or outside or inside the temple. I think he wanted to teach them and give them a glimpse that there is more in this life and after this life, for those who remain faithful to me. Because we get wrapped up in our daily stuff so much, we sometimes lose sight. And I think Jesus is teaching here, he's saying, I'm going to give you the benefit of seeing just a glimpse of that. You three, I'm going to give you the benefit of seeing that, so that when I'm gone and I've ascended to my Father in heaven, you will have this experience among many to reflect back onto and to refer to and to strengthen your faith in those tough, tough times that are sure to come. I'm going to give you the benefit of seeing the now, the miracles, the teachings, the love, the fellowship, the spiritual power, and I'm going to give you the benefit of seeing the end result as well, the big picture, the whole picture. I think that Jesus wanted to teach them. He says, I want you to see what my Father has in store for you. I want you to see what is yours if you persevere in the kingdom. If you persevere, if you will hear the Father's voice that says, listen to me, listen to my Son, this is my beloved, this is my chosen. Here's what can be yours. We live in a day-to-day of universalism faith. And I think it's not only damaging Christianity, but all faiths worldwide. Universalism says no matter who you are or what you do, you're going to heaven anyway. It doesn't matter. And how that changes the nature of worship and the nature of a funeral. I don't believe in that kind of universalist faith. The United Methodist Church has never made a claim about universalism. But I think we look back at several scenes in Scripture and we look at this and he's saying, I want you to see what my Father has in store for you. Those of you who follow me, those of you who persevere in tough times. And I think he was also there to say, I am the fulfillment of all that has gone before. Moses and Elijah being symbolic representatives of everything that had gone before. I'm the fulfillment of how God has acted in human history. So I think it has a lot to do with the nature of spiritual growth. Here's another thing to think about. I read this passage and I thought, when they came down off the mountain that day, they had to be thinking, well, what happens next? I mean, how do you top this? And now we have to go back down off the mountain into the valley and into the daily, you know, ministry and work and learning and teaching and everything that is there. How do you do that? Well, here's my response to that. Jesus did say, do not be afraid, but he left us with a playbook. Okay? He left us with a playbook. And just as he told his disciples to tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead, he gives us direction and wisdom in his word. He gives that to us through experience, through reason, through how to overcome our fears, and does so in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And we can also learn from those who have gone before us, from those who have given us a pattern, an example, flawed that it may be, but with the strength and the love and the faith that they also walked with. That is what we call the tradition of our faith, those who have gone before us. I think it's also important to say this morning that there are serious fears and silly fears. Okay? Now, a silly fear to someone might be very serious. I get that. And I want to say this morning, if you have a serious fear and it's manifesting itself in different forms, maybe it comes in the form of a panic attack or insomnia, or loss of appetite, or other ways If it's debilitating to the extent that you can't live your daily life, if it's affecting your daily life, then as your pastor, I would say get some professional help. Okay, talk with your doctor. Ask for a referral to a counselor. And in your own time, ask yourself some questions like these. What is unresolved in my life? What's unresolved? Do I need to make a decision about something or someone that I have procrastinated on, that I have just kept putting off? Could this be a reason for that fear or uneasiness in my spirit? Just simply sit right down and just ask yourself, why does this bother me? Why does this cause fear in my life? And I think those are important questions to ask. Now, of course, as your pastor, I'm going to say turn to the Lord. I'm going to say trust the Lord. I'm going to say live lives of faith, not fear. But too often these become very nice-sounding cliches. And the fear remains. So then I think it's important to say this. Be careful where you turn. Be careful where you turn. Avoid rash decisions. Avoid the kind of rash decisions of turning to not so good people or not so good things. And you know what I'm talking about. Narcotics, addiction, substances of any kind, self-medicating yourself because you don't want to go to the doctor or you think you know best of all. Or the impulse of spending money that you don't have that can lead to further stress and further anxiety in your life. They walked down the mountain that day, seeing something that no one else in all of history had ever seen. And it was a unique event. There's nothing else like it in the scriptures. There's nothing else like it in other ancient literature. It was a singular event, as far as I know and understand. But they walked down the mountain that day. They were ready for everything that was coming to them. They made a decision to stay with the Lord. They made a decision to live lives of service, of confession, of truth, of love, of faith. And they now had an eternal perspective on all of it. And so very different than before. And they had a more respectful fear of the Lord, a more respectful honor of the Lord, and even more appreciation and love for who Jesus is and for why he came. So my word to you today as we begin Lent this Ash Wednesday, I want us to walk through this time together. Stay with the Lord. Be mindful of the other things that will crowd out your time with him, be it by yourself or corporately together as worship. Walk with him. Let him walk with you. Respect and honor Christ. Obey his commands. Submit your lives to him. And I pray that the Lord gives you a moment of transfiguration this Lent. A time where God reveals himself to you, whether it be through a thought or an act or a deed or a friendship, whatever it may be, in a clear and new and soul-shaking way, to the good, for your good. And I believe you'll receive power to overcome fear, any fear in your life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.